Welcome to our Season 2 preview of Yellow Jackets. Hey everybody, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Pete.
Oh, we have a special guest for this podcast. You might be familiar with him from the Growth, Decay, Transformation, Breaking Bad Rewatch podcast that he recently started. Pete, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be here.
We've got some things to do tonight. First of all, I want to tell people where we left off in season one. I then want to talk a little bit about the trailer for season two. And then I want to get into some questions and notes I had on my rewatch, because I know we've all done pretty recent rewatches of this thing. If not in whole, then at least in part. And boy, do I have questions. Maybe we can talk about some theories and stuff that we have. Loose dangling ends, perhaps. So we'll get to
loose
that.
Loose dangling gold necklaces.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. From the very first shot. Yeah, let's start off where we left everybody, because these are kind of the dangling gold necklaces here. I'm gonna separate this into kids and adults. Do you guys remember anything about Shauna as a kid?
Still pregnant.
Yep.
Starting to show. I think she was starting to show by the end of the season.
Yeah,
some interesting
and like
stuff
if
in the trailer,
if you do
that.
The math on that, if her child survives this incident, it would be in its mid 20s right now.
Yeah,
so definitely not Callie, right?
Definitely not her daughter on the show so far.
Yeah, which
so big question about you know what happens to this child that is about to be born. Hopefully.
Yeah, no, that's a big question. we'll get to that here in a bit. So yeah, Shauna's still pregnant. Jackie froze to death in the woods because Shauna got mad at her and told her to go sleep outside, and she did, and now she feels real bad about it.
Is it that though, or is it that she can't make a fire?
That didn't help. I think her lighter was out of fluid was the problem.
Yeah, it's very rare you see someone die to stubbornness. But that's what happened.
Travis was almost murdered as a kid, except he apparently, like, I guess Nat saved him. Nat ran up because there was this whole thing with Doom coming where the girls got dosed by Misty accidentally with mushrooms, and they all started tripping, and they all chased down Travis and were going to kill him. And that group was kind of led by Lottie, who's been the instigator in a lot of stuff lately. So we'll talk
about
her.
The Antler Queen.
The Antler Queen, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Thaisa tried to take a group south to find help. They were stopped by a pack of wolves, which disfigured Van, just bit her face wide open. They almost burned her alive. And Thaisa and Van are a couple. I think that happened before they headed south.
I think that happened before they even went to, before they were stranded. I think that was going on back in high school.
But they weren't out about it. Was that they started living openly. I think as a Doom coming was when that all went down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of a gay couple, Coach told Misty that he's gay, which we'll see how that plays out. I'm a little worried for him now because she had a huge crush on him, if you remember, and they had this like secret relationship, right? This fake thing that was going on between them.
And I mean, she has tried to poison him a couple of times already. So
yes,
that's so funny when the mushrooms kicked in. He's like, "Oh my god, Misty's poisoned me again."
Totally. I mean, they were bad for him.
That is a well she likes to go back to. It does seem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
She's
well, let's talk
card.
About the adults, because she poisoned somebody in the 2021 timeline as well. The reporter, I'm going to use scare quotes here because she's not actually a reporter. She was like hired by Thaisa, I guess, to spy on the team.
She's a troubleshooter.
Oh, right. She's a fixer. That kind of thing.
A fixer.
Yeah.
A cooler like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Sure. She was killed by Misty. She poisoned her cigarettes and let her drive her car into a yard. I assume she's dead. Does anybody not think she's dead?
I was wondering if maybe that would come back up, but I actually, when I was researching for a video I'm working on right now, I found an interview with the showrunners where they confirmed that she was definitely dead.
I would be disappointed because, like, one thing I know about Misty is she does her fucking homework. I would be very disappointed if she would fail to dose a person lethal enough to kill them if she meant to.
Yeah. I love how they play that scene because it's like, really? Misty's just going to let her go? How gullible is she? And then you realize, oh yeah, she dosed her.
There was a couple points because I was re-listening to our, you know, we did the off the clock, you know, incidental premium coverage. We did like an hour talking about it last year. And I listened to that before we recorded this podcast. And there was a couple of times last season where I'm like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I could possibly think of. If this is how I might be out on this show. And then like two scenes later, I'm like, God damn it, they did it again. Yeah, this is one of those where, like, I was just like, I can kind of believe that Misty is this deluded and crazy that she might get reverse Stockholm syndrome, but I'm so glad I didn't have to talk myself into that. I'm so glad.
Yeah, that, and it really goes back and makes the whole thing of her throwing the cigarettes away even better too, because that was just all part of the plan for like a little bit of extra, you know, make it look cool or whatever, style made, or something.
Yeah like it made Misty out, like, when you think this person was working her, she was actually working her right back.
Exactly.
Which kind of shows a certain self-awareness she's gained about herself that I don't think she had in the high school era.
I mean, she might have had it confidence, but she didn't do anything with it at all that you can
true
tell.
So where we left Shauna, she was deep in it. Speaking of Misty, Shauna had murdered her lover, who she thought was blackmailing her and her team. Turns out he wasn't. It was actually her husband, Jeff, who was blackmailing them. So she murdered the guy and Misty helped them dispose of the body. And we're kind of left right in the middle of that scenario. Like, will the cops find out? Won't the cops find out? We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And one thing I think there is that's important is that her daughter knows about Adam. Adam was his name, right?
Yeah, it was Adam. I think the last like shot of the season is them sitting down to watch TV as a family together and them showing the guy's
missing person.
This guy's missing on the news. And
does her daughter know?
Jeff's eyes bug out and Callie's eyes bug out too.
Well, does Callie know that what this guy looks like? I forget.
Yeah, they met at the party.
Yep.
The Halloween party.
Right.
They went to a crazy.
See, I think I only watched episodes like 8, 9, and 10. So I think I missed some of these things like in episode 7 or something.
Yeah, what I did is I put on the videos on 1.3x play speed.
Oh yeah.
And I watched through the entire season. It was the only way I was going to get through it.
Yeah. You fit 10 episodes into 7 episodes of watching time. Clever.
Do you recommend it? Do you think it's the better way to go about this or?
Because it distorts the music. That's the only flaw, right? Like, I could do with the pacing of 1.3x if it wasn't for the sped up music.
Especially on a rewatch. I don't know if I'd want to do it on a pristine watch, but yeah, I could see a rewatch, sure. I re-listened to our podcast on 1.5x speed.
There you go. I do recommend us at 1.5x, yeah.
That's right. Makes the medicine go down a lot easier. It's just, you know, just go fast, be brave.
Thaisa is the real big, like, what the fuck as an adult here. She's been sleepwalking again as an adult. She apparently killed the family dog and made an altar out of its body in their basement.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I want to ask you guys, it's the dog's heart that's there, right?
I think so.
Next to the head. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're so
that's
those
the way I interpreted it.
It was also sacrificing all of her son's most precious things. It was like his favorite doll, the dog. Right. Like, it's really dark when you look at it. That those are things he loved.
Yeah, I saw there was some discussion online about maybe it was a human heart, maybe it was Adam's, maybe it was somebody else's. But I think that the intention was that it was supposed to be the dog's head and the dog's heart.
I think so.
Do you remember the scene where Lottie cut out the bear's heart and put it into a tree stump. I wonder if that's like
the one of the final scenes of, it might even be the final scene of the season.
Oh, maybe.
But you're supposed to, I mean, there's definitely a parallel there for sure. Did you guys also get that her son has seen her crouching outside his window at night, and he's she's drawn pictures of it? And I got this from, I was doing some research today, and I was doing some theory diving. But in some of those pictures with Aisa, you know, being the bad mom, there's a redheaded lady depicted too.
Huh. Hmm. So Van, maybe?
Right. That's makes people think. And there's, that's one of the things that has been confirmed, that they've cast an adult Van this year. So adult Van and adult, the prophetic one.
Lottie.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in the season two trailer. Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about here in a second. Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. I didn't realize there was a redhead next to her.
Me neither. I didn't see that at all.
Me either. But YouTube videos, hell of a thing.
The big problem, I mean, you know, cutting out dog hearts and heads and making altars out of them is one thing. But when you're a senator, you can't really get away with that. And she won her senatorial state senator race.
Yeah, so. Because she was clearly losing. Like everyone thought that that was over. And then you find out that she has an altar. But also that she miraculously won the race, right?
Right. Which I love. And there was this conundrum for her, right? Like this tension.
Well, especially since like when they showed the reaction to her, you know, they're showing this close up of her kind of like looking confused and horrified. But then the very last emotion she cycles through is this kind of like feral grin. And I wonder if this is like this multiple personality taking over. Is it something that she is like, this is all a plot, and this is the real her and her real plan?
I don't know.
It's interesting too.
Did the cult do it unbeknownst to her, and she just kind of realized it at the last, you know, the cult for whatever reason pushes her to the top?
Strong, man. Their demographic is big.
They can get shit done, apparently. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I think it's funny with Ty that the altar, you know, like altar personality and altar that she has in her basement. That's a little bit of an interesting wordplay there.
There is like a transformational aspect to the cult because they're all wearing like animal motifs. So like you said, the antler queen and whatnot. You know, even I guess it all started with Van wearing the mask to hide her facial scarring, but like it's something that this physical alteration is something they seem to be taking seriously at like a kind of witchcraft level. Oh, that's something I was curious about asking both of you guys. I want to take your temperature in terms of, is this got a supernatural element to it? Is this going to have a supernatural element to it? Or is it going to be something more like True Detective, where they're going to go right up to the edge through psychosis and drug experiences to suggest supernatural, but in reality, the Yellow King is just some psychotic person that mows grass, you know, like... What do you guys think? Where are you at on that, Pete?
It's hard, you know, because I think that works better sometimes. Well, a lot of times I think it works better when that's what drives it, is wondering, you know, the way they compare it. Like there is a reasonable explanation, but at the same time, it could be supernatural. You know, like I think that's a fun thing to play with. The problem with it actually turning out to be real, like to have real supernatural, like it has to be good, you know, mm-hmm. like it has to be satisfying. And that's like a little bit tricky sometimes, especially mm-hmm. nowadays, like where, you know, people have been breaking down every scene and getting ideas and throwing out theories for like years at this point. So there's a part of me that I think, like, I really enjoy that, playing around with it. I kind of think that it should be left vague, but like if they have a really great idea for it, then I'm cool. You know, like pull it off. I'm happy to see it.
I think now that they put it in the we put it in prestige, they can't do anything supernatural because it wouldn't fit in our category.
Yeah, we're putting our thumb on the side of that scale.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
What do you think, Jim? Do you think that they're going to keep it squarely in the explainable? Do you think they're going to try to walk that tightrope? Or because, you know, my favorite show of all time did that masterfully for three seasons. Like, The Leftovers was a ballet of is Kevin Jesus or you not? What the hell? Is he resurrecting himself? Is he not? And they just like really pitched that right down the middle of the plate every single time. And then ultimately it was at the end of the series. It's up to you to decide.
Yeah.
You
know, and I think that's what I think of whenever when I was saying, you know, like, I think that's the ideal.
Yeah,
they're doing a really good job.
There's good evidence for both, and you just have to decide on, as a matter of faith or science, what you believe at the end.
Yeah, no, they're doing a really good job on that. There are a couple of things that I think stand out to me as tough to explain in reality, but you might be able to explain them through the visual language of cinema. Like the big one to me is Lottie as a young child predicting a car crash, essentially. She starts panicking, freaking out, crying. Her parents turn around. They're all in the car together. And you hear the people behind her honking, like, go, 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 because the light's green. And then a truck smashes the car in front of them. So how did she know? And then she goes right back to just being a happy kid, right? How did she know that accident was going to happen? Or did she know that an accident was going to happen? Or did she just have a tantrum and freak out? She seems prophetic.
as a teenager, she's being treated with some kind of antipsychotic. So, like I said, it could be that she was just having some kind of delusional episode as even a young child, although I think that's kind of rare in children. But like, yeah, she's having the early onset, you know, schizophrenia or something. She's having a paranoid delusional episode, and it just happens to coincide to distract her parents from getting plowed in at the intersection. Yeah, like I felt like you go ahead.
I was gonna take it away from Lottie if you're still wanting to talk about Lottie.
Okay,
the other one that stands out as really hard to explain to me is the one where Laura Lee gets in the plane and she's flying away to go rescue them, and her bear next to her in the cockpit spontaneously combusts. That's a really strange one.
But that in that very same episode, they made sure that we saw that she sustained a pretty horrific head injury, I think, that summer, which could be, you know, I don't know. I think that, like, I don't know that a concussion can cause you to see like full blown hallucinations and whatnot. But like, I just like I, when I was doing my rewatch, I'm like, they're very clever about every person who has this kind of spooky phenomenon is either like some kind of sleepwalker or has some kind of schizophrenia, delusion kind of complex, or has had a severe blow to their head just months before. I mean, that's gotta be that's gotta mean something.
And a lot of the times in the show, they'll have a character see something that isn't really there, right? Like I think of Jackie when she's dying. She's having this experience that she's inside the cabin, all her friends greeting her, warming her up. None of that's happening. She's outside dying of hypothermia. So they show you things that aren't really happening. So maybe that bear isn't actually spontaneously combusting. She just feels like it is.
It's an old ass plane that's got a short circuit that's catching the cabin on fire. And she's just,
Yeah, I got to ask. So you guys both interpreted that as the plane went down because the bear combusted?
That's how I interpreted it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think my understanding might be that there's a short circuit causing a fire but what they actually show is her looking down and her bear is bursted into flames. It doesn't seem like it was like coming from the console,
not the chair under it, not anything around it.
I'm going to have to go back and look at it because when I watched it, I just thought that the whole thing was catching on fire and the bear was just the next step in that phase of everything being engulfed in flames.
I watched that last night.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard to explain away if the bear just, I mean,
it's the blow to the head. I'm telling you, it's the blow to the head of Jesus camp that got her.
Could be. Yeah, that's interesting. That's something I'd look at closer for sure.
I will say that, like, you mentioned Jackie's death vision. I think that's got one of the best evidences going forward in the next season to kind of, like, as a litmus test. Jackie and her dying moment sees this guy who's credited in the credits as the hunter. And a lot of people think it's, it's supposed to represent the dead guy up in the attic. If Jackie sees this guy as she's dying because she is having some hallucination about what the guy who died here looks like, fine. If anyone else sees this guy, not from the POV of Jackie, or if Jackie's a ghost, like that will be a big tell to me that we're going into full-blown supernatural, because I couldn't explain that. I couldn't explain how literally the same face is shared by someone else's death dream, you know? That'd be really strong evidence that there's something supernatural going on for me.
Yeah. Let's jump back here real quick to kind of the final person that we haven't talked about yet. I guess that's Nat. She was going to kill herself at the end of season one, but she was kidnapped right in the middle of it by some people wearing like the symbol. I don't even know what to call this. The symbol, right? From Yellow Jackets. Because she had her old acquaintance, Susie, dig into the bank account of Travis, which was emptied after his death, and found out that Lottie's name came up in that. We don't know if it was Lottie who actually drained the account, but we know that Susie found the name Lottie and asked who the hell that is.
Yeah, it was implied pretty heavily that it was her that drained the account, I think.
I think you're right. I just don't want to assume anything because the show gets weird.
I wasn't disagreeing. I was just saying that that was what all we got was an implication, not a confirmation.
Totally. And that's kind of where we leave most people, unless I missed anybody. Did I miss anybody important? Adam died, like I said.
Javi.
Oh yeah, he's nowhere to be found. Where the hell is Javi?
When's the last time?
Doom Coming is when we saw him last, right?
We know he's alive, right?
Not really.
No,
because Travis.
I thought his brother made reference to him.
But Travis and Nat went to go look for him. Yeah, they went to go look for him at the beginning of the finale, I think. And there's nobody knows yet.
Yeah. So, I have a lot of questions and notes for my rewatch. We talked about some of them, like that supernatural stuff. I was going to ask you guys, what do you like about this show? Or like if people haven't seen it, why do you think they should check it out?
As a Gen Xer, do you remember what it felt like to be pandered to, your childhood pandered to in Stranger Things? Do you want your teenage years pandered to? Well, oh boy, is this the show for you, because the fashion, the music, the locations, we even talked about this in the our OTC that we recorded last year. The way the teenagers talk feels authentically 90s.
The wardrobe, my God. That co-ed naked soccer shirt. Every time I see it, I'm like, that was a brand. That was just a brand in the 90s. What the hell?
And it's also like it's double dealing on the nostalgia and the pandering, because the two timelines exploits, like, do you remember what it felt like to be a 17-year-old? Do you remember what it feels like to be a 37 or 47-year-old that's like, you know, got kids and a mortgage and all that? Like, it's serving both of those looks. it's got you coming and going if you're in Gen X or an elder millennial.
And it has, you know, Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis, who were famous from that 90s time period, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool that these
Christina Ricci is Wednesday Addams, right?
All these people are cast perfectly to be the, you know, who they grew up to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, like I can piggyback off that a little bit, because a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is stuff that when I first watched it, I wasn't like instantly blown away, and it was kind of because I think it felt a little bit more, you know, style over substance, you know, because like there's like you said, there's so many songs you remember from that time period, and there's just so much, like it felt like a lot to me in that way, like where it's like, wow, they're kind of overdoing it. But like I was talking to Jim earlier, that it kind of, there's also it's a little bit of a coming of age thing. It's not really something that I go looking for, is those coming of age tales, you know? And when you get past all of that stuff though, you realize that there is, they're doing a lot of smart stuff, you know, they're doing a lot of smart stuff in the way that they're constructing the story. And we touched on it a little bit earlier. I do enjoy that thing of like, is it really supernatural? Is it not? Is it something you can have a rational explanation for? And I think if that's, you know, if I was going to say to someone to watch it, that's what I would tell them, is that it ends pretty strong. It leaves you with a lot of questions. There's a lot of secrets. Everybody's keeping secrets. This is always kind of fun, you know, when you think about a show like this. And as long as they can then keep that up, and they can make it interesting going through the next couple of seasons, it should be pretty great all the way around, I think.
I'm a little scared that's the thing. Can't keep it up. We'll see.
I really hope we're not going into Lost territories. And again, a lot of people like Lost. I've seen some things from the showrunners that makes me a little afraid about like how kind of loosey-goose they're approaching. I've seen some things that have given me a lot of hope. I actually read a quote from Ashley Lyle, one of the two showrunners, and she mentioned how that they conceived this as like a gender bent Lord of the Flies. And the full quote was, Lord of the Flies is about how socialization falls away and how society is a facade. And we thought, who is more socialized than women? As girls, you learn early on how to make people like you and what all the social hierarchies are. It's a more interesting way of having things fall away. The mask is even thicker. It's a more layered amount of preconceived notions on how to behave and how to act. And I think that's what is like the promise of what the true, you know, what do these 17, 18 year old girls get up to in these 18 months in the Yukon? Like what? And the way the show opens, this isn't a spoiler. The show is going to open and it's like this bizarre arcane ritual and like almost human sacrifice. And you're going to smash cut that these girls just in a traditional high school practicing soccer. Like, how the fuck did it get this way?
And I think that is what I was thinking about a lot. And when I was writing about it recently, is that the whole cannibalism idea, I mean, like in a survival situation, that's not really that shocking, you know, like it is like, I'm definitely not advocating for it, but I mean, it's not an interesting question. Like if you were going to die and there was, you had that to available to you, you know what I mean? Like that's a survival thing. It's not the most interesting question it asks. The interesting question is, how do they go from being this normal group of kids who eventually find themselves, chasing somebody into a punji stick pit where they're, you know, with the intention of eating them down the, you know, in the future or whatever. So
that's the thing, is like cannibalism might not be interesting, but this is like cannibalism plus. This is full on antler headdresses and elaborate ritual and spells and arcane symbols and invocations in French. Nothing good happens from invocations in French.
I want to say it's not that different from Breaking Bad in its arc, right? Because you want to see like how this mild-mannered dude goes from the tidy-whitey guy to Scarface. There's that arc.
Goes from Mrs. Chips to Scarface. Come on, Jim. Uh-huh. Too soon. Uh-huh. Too soon. The wolf attack was just last season.
Fair.
But about their descent into what they are. And one other just quick thing about it, you know, it's like I said, this coming of age doesn't really appeal to me as a general idea, but when you think about the fact that we all can relate to that, you know, it's relatable that you think you know everything when you're a teenager and then you get caught in some situation where you think, oh my God, I don't really actually know anything. And there's no one here to help. You know what I mean? We can all kind of get into that idea. And then, what kind of sets this show apart is it examines how that shaped them later without answering all the questions in the middle. So there's a lot that it has that it can fill out there that could be, you know, there's some good, there's opportunity there for it to tell some pretty good stories in there.
You guys have favorite characters? Can I guess both of your favorite characters? Because I know who it is. It's Misty. Okay. It's obviously Misty, right? Everybody loves Misty.
Yeah, number one.
Misty, but I think my real favorite's Van.
Huh.
Okay.
I like Van. I think
an acceptable alternative, an acceptable option B. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should be pretty excited,
I think
then.
She's like the Han Solo of the group. Does that make sense?
Uh huh.
Like it's not her story, but she might be the coolest person in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that we'll probably get to know a lot more about her, because really the reason why she wouldn't be on a list of mine yet was just because we haven't spent that much time with her. I mean, the teenage version is pretty good and everything that comes up, but we just haven't seen her as an adult.
Yeah.
So, because the thing about Misty that I really like is that she has that her motivation is the thing that she'll never get, which is acceptance by the rest of the group. You know what I mean? And she's just like, everything she does is in service of that. Like her job is to, like everyone at her job needs her. So she's more than happy to take care of them. And it's just a lot of we know as viewers that she's never going to be accepted no matter what. She's useful to them. And so that sets up a pretty good situation where like maybe they need her and then they find out there's more going on than what they expected, because of course they're always going to not think that she's capable of anything except for being weird ass Misty, you know.
It's because she gets in her own way. Like, you know, oh, yeah. She could have been in with the group if she had just chilled and not destroyed the flight recorder and they get rescued in like 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I don't know. It's like, dude, those girls come back and like, you know what? Misty really knew. She showed herself to us in that. She like really demonstrated her worth. Or do they turn into shitty teenage girls again? And Misty's mm-hmm. weird. And like, I don't know. But like, it seems like she keeps doubling down on being useful. And that's the only way she knows to like receive respect and love.
Yeah, every chance she gets, she definitely does the wrong thing and makes you make you think, oh my god, like she's terrible, you know?
Yeah, she's the
poisons
worst.
People. She destroys the thing, like you said. I mean, like even when she gets
wise,
a chance,
spies.
Yeah, she mm-hmm. always makes the wrong choice. So it's not exactly tragic. She has a lot to do with it herself, you know.
I just love Christina Ricci's performance. She's so quirky and gleefully weird.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I have a question about something that I noticed in episode 4 of the show. There's a scene where Shauna is talking to Javi and she rips a page out of her diary and says, journaling, there's no wrong way to do it here. Go journal. That never comes back in season 1. I want to know if anything is going to happen with that. Does anybody have any
has
clue
to,
on
right?
That?
Like it's gotta come into play during the rescue or like when they get back home and maybe he's died and
it's such a no. Like they're with that scene. It's not like a passing thing. It's like a meaningful moment for Javi, but it never comes back up.
Huh. Yeah. Or it might go back down to the present day.
Maybe.
Because Javi's not dead, right?
Not yet. For sure. We don't know yet.
But no one, like, I thought, am I crazy or did I think that his brother was speaking as if he was alive? But that was a lot of early season, like, where I didn't go back and rewatch, so.
Well, him and Nat went out to look for Javi because Javi ran away during Doom Coming.
Yeah, whenever the girls were chasing after, this is the way I remember it.
But he came back after Doom Coming. He hasn't been missing since then, right?
No, I think he's been missing since then.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think Shauna told him to run whenever she saw that they were going after, after his brother, and then nobody's seen him since.
Hmm. Maybe that's him that falls in the pit in the very first scene. He's just growing his hair way out.
Well, that would be interesting because they've only seen him hunt men, right?
It's true.
So that would be kind of interesting.
19 months of hair growth. Does that look like 19 months of hair growth to you guys? Maybe.
I guess
hair genetics than me.
I mean, I think do you want to guess about that? Who we think it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have no guess. I have no fucking clue.
I'm going to say if I had to, I'm going to say it's Mari. Because
who is that? Who is
she's got
Mari?
The dark hair. She's the one that took the mushrooms from Misty and put them in the.
Yeah, said
the
you're
stew.
Holding out on us.
Because I mean, she's someone you know. Like you would be like, oh, that's terrible if she dies. But at the same time, it wouldn't fundamentally change anything if her character was gone. Because mm-hmm. I really just say that because it's hard to imagine any of the other ones. You know, we know half of them are alive at least, and after the trailer and the casting, it's even more than that. So, I'm not sure who else there's left that it would matter. And
would
and
you be
kind of see dark hair, but I don't know how she gets the necklace.
Would you be disappointed if it was just one of the other kids, you know, that like broke off from the group that we haven't seen, and they're just systematically hunting all the unaffiliated non-cultist kids?
Yeah,
it would be kind of underwhelming, but
there's so much other juicy stuff, like the literal first mystery they hit us with. If that turns out to be kind of a turd, as long as the other stuff is cooking, I think it'll be okay. But
well, one of the things that jumps out to me about that, though, is it doesn't feel like it's the first time.
No, there's no way they got that much ritual around it.
Yeah, so if they've been doing it for a while, then they're going to eventually have to get through the unnamed unnamed players that are there.
Yeah, true. I assume that's next winter. I don't think that's this winter, but Who knows?
I hope it. I mean, geez, that would be a pretty big devolution or whatever you would call it.
It's fast.
Do you think it might be one of the giant rescuers? Bear. Is there any world in which a team of rescuers come to rescue these girls and they're so far gone that they kill the first batch?
Probably.
Maybe.
Or at least one part of the faction. Because like the Misty is a lot. She's all culted up with them. And I could that Misty does not want to leave this place. Because I'm always like, what is the unforgivable sin? Because like cannibalism, like Pete was alluding to, it's not it. Like anyone understands, like, oh, a bunch of 17-year-old girls with hardly any adults, able-bodied adults crash into Yukon and they had to eat a couple people. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's sensational. Like people like to want to hear, like all the people asking the question.
But no one's going to like condemn those girls.
Right.
It's
not something you need to keep secret in order to. Yeah, I tend to agree. I think there's something worse that happens that we don't know yet.
It's possibly could involve Shauna's baby. It could possibly involve the rescuers. It could possibly involve some innocent civilian that's, you know, living in the mountains that gets stuck. I don't know. But I've often wondered, like, what the fuck could be so bad that you're going to this length to maintain the secrecy?
Yeah. And also, if they break into factions, there's neither one of them ratted the other side out either when they got back. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's keeping a secret. So they have some kind of share. They must have some kind of shared thing that is worse than just they resorted to cannibalism when they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the new season 2 trailer?
Let's do trailer talk.
Okay. If you haven't seen the new trailer, I suggest you go watch it because we're going to talk about it in detail. you can pause the podcast, come right back. Some things that I noted in this that I'm kind of excited about is we're going to get to see the girls returning to society. Like think Castaway when Tom Hanks comes back and they bring him out in the airport and all that stuff. I don't know why I'm so excited to see that, but it might actually give us more information about both how and when they were rescued because they're still young. They still look, I want to say it was like 18 months or something.
19,
that they were out.
Yeah, it was like a year and a half.
19? Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So I guess we know when, but how, like who found them? Did they get out themselves and bring help back, or did they just happen to be found by somebody else? I'm super curious about that stuff, so I'm excited we're going to get even a little bit more information about that.
Yeah, I looked at the some comments about the trailer on their subreddit, and I saw one of the first comments I saw was that someone guessed that this would be the teaser, you know, them coming back of season 2, and I thought that was a pretty good idea.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll get some glimpses of it, but we won't really know what's going on with it until later on in the series.
We get confirmation because, like you said, Pete, it was heavily implied at the end that Lottie had survived their time in the wilderness because her name was mentioned, connection to Travis's bank account. But she's actually cast as an adult in this season. You can see Simone Kessel is the person playing her. She's been in Obi-Wan. She was in Our Flag Means Death briefly. We're going to get to see her do a lot of stuff.
She looks super cool in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She'd be a good addition to things.
I'm curious to see. She's a cult leader, it seems. And
that's
I'm
what it looks like.
Real excited to see how that goes down.
I mean, the connection is there for them to be working for her, stealing that away at the end of the finale, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I assume that's where we'll pick up with Nat, is she's out in the cabin by the lake or whatever they have in the trailer. We also find out that Van survived, which I wasn't sure about from season 1. They don't really, she's not cast as an adult in season 1, and they don't really mention her ever in the season.
Yeah,
She might have been. Yeah, I was trying to think of where I've seen her from because I never saw. It's Lauren Ambrose is who they cast. Yeah. And I didn't see anything that I recognized her IMDb, but I do feel like I recognize her face. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the ones kneeling with Lottie at the end of the season. So it makes sense that maybe we didn't see her because she's been with Lottie. It's like she stayed with the cult the whole time. Because that's what the hook of this season is like. We thought we left the darkness behind when we were rescued, but we brought the darkness back with us. Who knows what that means fully, but.
Yeah, I actually think it's pretty cool that Van has gone with Lottie because she was like getting religion after her near-death experience last season.
She saw some things herself when she was like coming back, you know?
Yeah. So it makes sense. And it's going to be a shame to see like her and Thaisa's relationship deteriorate over the course of however many months we have left out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to be this season's Jackie? Jackie Shauna. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be right. Like they're the two, they're the relationship I care about most after Jackie dies. So that would make sense.
What's kind of fascinating about, not to derail too much, but just what's kind of fascinating about that, the way that Thaisa responds to Lottie and these visions that she's, you know, that Van's so quick to accept, is that it seems like that's all coming from her own experience with something that she, that's probably supernatural, right? The guy with the missing eyes. And so that's why she's so against the idea of anything that Lottie's saying being true. I mean, that's a pretty good reason for them to have a wedge in between not just those two as individuals, but like to go into two groups, like the Lottie followers and the non-Lottie followers.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like the tail people from Lost kind of potential here, where you've got just a rival faction. Because like that's something I also saw pointed out a lot of times, is like in the beginning, right after the car or the plane wreck, it seemed like many, many more of the soccer team were alive than we actually got to meet. Mm-hmm. And we don't see them die. So the idea that like there's these others that are kind of running in the forest that were our feral members of the soccer team, I think is kind of interesting, because it also explains like, you know, who the hell was the person running through the woods, you know? And I also saw that they had like done a lot of body doubling in some of those scenes. So you just literally can't tell, like judge by necessarily body shapes and who's wearing what. And because they swap clothes and jewelry so many times last year, they really threw you off the case. But having a whole bunch of like mysterious soccer players that we haven't met yet would be interesting.
There's at least like six unnamed characters that you see after the crash that are just, they just come in and out of scenes from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe they all died.
I'd be a little disappointed with the body double stuff if they really try and mix it up. Because like Van has a body type, right? Like I can kind of tell. And the girl who is chasing the one girl into the pit at the very beginning of the season is wearing Van's, what I think of as Van's co-ed naked soccer shirt.
Yep.
So I assume that's Van.
Yeah.
Based on those things. But if they're doing like weird body double stuff, who knows?
And if they're switching costumes, like they're switching shirts for some reason. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I thought I was really onto something with the necklace until it just, that thing got kind of passed around. And
well, that thing's on clearly Jackie when she dies.
Yeah. So it's got to change hands again. So like, I feel like that's kind of a gold herring.
because
it's something I was watching all season long. Same with the pink Converses. Like there's someone wearing these like crazy pink shoes and we don't ever see them again at, I think, the rest of the season. So there's a lot of things like, if those pink shoes show up in the next few weeks, people are gonna be Leo DiCaprioing out of their chairs.
Plus those pink shoes look brand new in that opening shot, right?
They're very vivid. I don't know about brand new, but they're very
not like they've been tromped around in the wilderness for 18 months.
You're supposed to remember them the way that it's shot and set up. You're supposed to remember those and be looking for those throughout the entire.
It draws the eye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One other thing I noticed from the trailer is Elijah Wood shows up in that trailer. He's going to be a character named Walter. Anybody
Citizen
know anything
detective.
About him?
He's like in the organization called like the Citizens
Bureau. Oh, the one Miss
Citizens
in?
Investigation Bureau or something.
It's Misty's, her online community that she hangs out with is, they call themselves Citizens.
The true crime.
Detectives.
Nice.
Yeah, they try to solve crimes that are cold cases and stuff.
He's perfect.
So that'd be
for that.
Interesting. Like one of her friends that's a crime solver getting into her business.
Yeah, I remember mm-hmm. Nat, she brought one of the guys in to try to hack the email or whatever, and Natalie threw gas on him yeah. at the bar.
Threatened to set his crotch on fire, yeah.
He's one of those guys. He's in the same crowd.
Another actor who's going to be showing up. There's somebody else who stood out in the trailer, and I had to do a little bit of digging to find out any information about him, but John Reynolds... a guy you've probably seen before if you're a fan of Stranger Things. He's going to be playing another shitty cop in this show. He plays Officer Callahan. I think it's Callahan in Stranger Things.
The one with like really the nerdy glasses.
Yeah, the big stupid doofus. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So he's going to be playing, I think, another shitty cop in this.
I think you see him in the trailer there. He comes up to the door like to...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he's in, like, I think a police interrogation room as well. So probably working, because you see him right next to, oh boy, what's Nat's boyfriend's name? Adult boyfriend.
Kevin?
Yes, Kevin Tan.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like him. Apparently he was really good in Search Party, which I haven't seen, but I might end up checking that out just for his performance.
That's cool.
And the final thing that I really love about this trailer is that cover of Just a Girl by Florence Welch. I like the original by No Doubt, but boy, Florence just nails, like, she is everything I want from the music in this show. She's got like this haunting, somewhat creepy voice that just fits the tone so perfect.
It's a great way to marry the aesthetic of the 90s to the, you know, the nows, right? And that was I listened to that full track when they dropped it. I actually listened to it before I watched the trailer. And at first I'm like, well, I don't know if this is going to work. Like Gwen Stefani is different than Florence Welch. And like there's a different cadence and a different kind of tone to it. And by the time they got to the break, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is working for me.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the original song, but I like what they did with it. I think it's kind of an improvement for my tastes.
Nice. Anybody have any other things I noticed in the trailer that they want to talk about? Or
I just love that moment with Shauna and talking to Callie, where she asks her if she's a murderer and she can't really say no. And then, you know, you're not sure if she's talking about Adam, if she's admitting it being Adam, or I mean, there's definitely potential that they murdered some people before that when they were out in the wilderness.
Oh yeah. And Shauna's already, from what we've seen, come close to it, right? She was going to kill Travis with that knife.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, we were chatting the other night and I was just, you said that, like, maybe it's somebody that maybe it's not about murdering Alex, maybe it's or Adam, sorry, maybe it's about murdering somebody in the woods. I was like, oh yeah, that would make total sense. And it wouldn't be nearly as dramatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she finds out that her mom has murdered somebody as an adult, it's going to be way different.
Yeah, and I just thought it was a good... I think it stands out as a good, good line reading there, the delivery of the way that she says it. And it's you know, makes you think about that whole situation that they have and her knowing that she was with Adam and who Adam is and that he's missing. But it's just funny because... there's a juxtaposition there, you know, like the way that she sounds, the way that she looks, and then the fact that she is a cold-blooded killer, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Melanie Lynskey's pretty good at that. She was in The Last of Us recently,
yeah,
and the juxtaposition of like how sweet she seems on the surface versus who she's playing as a character it's really good. All right, another big question: who the hell is doing all this? Who killed Travis? Who sent the cards with the symbol on them? Who drained his bank account? I have two main suspects.
It's got to be Lottie and the cult, right? That's A number one.
So they drained his bank account, most likely. It's implied, yeah.
Who's the? I'm curious. Who is the other suspect?
My other suspect is Thaisa, because Thaisa's dissociating, right?
And she's up to something. She was pleased ultimately by her winning the election.
And she crucially, like, loses time. And I think that's, like, she might be doing it without knowing it, right? So she might be on the team that's investigating
100%
the crime or whatever, and also be the person instigating it.
She's a double agent.
You really can't rule out Misty either, though, right?
Totally. I mean, the first thing she does is rip a piece out of Nat's Porsche so that she'll have to drive her up to see Travis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she sees him and then he dies the next day. I mean, there's there's no actual physical evidence pointing to it at all. And I don't even know if it's possible without going back to look at the time frame of what her and Nat were doing and all that. But yeah, if you're thinking about Thaisa, I think you have to also think about Misty as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they're pointing all fingers, I feel like, at Lottie right now, which it's got to be more complex than that, right? They can't just season two here. We figured it out. There has to be more to it. And it could go a couple of ways or maybe more, but I'm feeling like either Lottie didn't do it and somebody else did, or Lottie did it for reasons that we'll find out are more than just like, hey, I wanted to kill Travis, right? So I'm thinking like at the very end of the season when we see Nat, she's about to kill herself, and Lottie's goons bust in and kidnap her. And I'm like, well, why would she do that at this moment? And you could almost see that as protecting Nat from killing herself, right? And because Lottie's kind of clairvoyant or prophetic or whatever, you could imagine she saw a vision of Nat killing herself and was like, well, I got to stop that.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts. FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the Shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. Featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
Or what I think is, you know, I'm going to put my Scooby-Doo hat on and say what's materially likely is we've already seen a founding member of the Lottie cult, Misty, remotely surveilling Nat.
Possible. You know? Yeah.
So it's possible she's just done that more and she's providing it with Lottie, or is also still working for the cult. Either way, yeah. It's essentially Nat's trying to save you from yourself impulse.
And maybe Travis got mixed up in that because, like, for some reason he's bad, right? Like, I think back to Doom Coming where he's like, Lottie's like, we have to catch the stag or whatever. And they all start chasing Travis and they're going to kill him. It's not like Lottie was rooting not to kill him.
For that reason, it's kind of hard to imagine when they're younger, Travis going along with the Lottie cult or Nat for that matter, because she's on his side. So there's a pretty, that's why I think that if you just look at it based on who's there and what's going on in the future, I mean, it makes sense that Thaisa doesn't want anything to do with Lottie. So she is, you know, working with Nat and Shauna in the present. So that's one faction. And then Lottie's faction is separate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's going to consist of Misty, we know, because we saw her take her mask off. And then maybe Van seems to be one of her, you know, her most devoted followers in the girls right now, you know. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm very confused by it all, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. It's a pretty good puzzle box, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, you know, it's kind of like hope you can pull it off whenever they go that direction, because you know, they don't have a good track record. You know, that style doesn't have a great track record sometimes, but
yeah, it's high risk, high reward for sure. And mm-hmm. I feel like we'll probably start seeing at the end of season two if the wheels are starting to fall off, because that's traditionally, you know, like they're like do they need to solve that initial mystery of who was in the opening scene being killed, like by the end of season two, or is that going to start feel like, oh man, this is polar bears and smoke monsters all over again? This is the black oil and bee stings of Chris Carter's X-Files. This is a show that, but they do said that, because I've seen the showrunner say two things. They've said that they're kind of making it up as they go along. They have like 10, 12 different ideas of where things could go. And I've also heard him say they've always thought this is going to be a 5-season cycle, and they have kind of a rough idea where they go. So like, I don't know. I wish I had heard that they definitely had, because like, they definitely had an end goal in mind, because, you know, we've seen Vince Gilligan, you know, he famously never had a plan for how they're going to get from one season to the next, but he had a kind of North Star. He definitely wants to see this guy turn into Scarface by the end of it. So you're always working towards that. I wish I knew that the showrunners had at least that, because there is huge, you know, mystery box, puzzle box, disappointment syndrome possibilities here. Mm-hmm. But I felt like the thing is, in the season one finale, they did enough of answering and making sense of some things that, like, I felt like, okay, there is some there.
Yeah, I think in today's climate, like right now, when you're making a show like this, you have to be aware of how people are going to interact with it. And then you have to show some awareness to go on that journey with them, but also like not get lost in it. You know what I mean? Like you have to anticipate how like people are going to figure stuff out. I always think back to like Westworld season two. They probably affected, you know, they probably paid attention too much, and then they tried to they tried to outsmart the internet, and it made it not a very enjoyable season of TV compared to the first one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like that's the trick that you have to pull off now, is that if you make it about mysteries and you put in it all, you can all be figured out or pieced together, then people are going to figure that out. So, you know, you can't solve that by just putting more mysteries on top of the other one and just trying to get crazy. You have to just sort of, you know, find a way to make that enjoyable.
Yeah, make it enjoyable despite the fact that people know kind of where it's headed.
Yeah. Or like you said, end really strong in the first season where you answer some questions and satisfy a little bit, and then let us know that, you know, you got something in mind for where you're going to go next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing that's a real red flag to me, is where the mystery just gets bigger and bigger and expands, but there's never any resolution to any, even the initial themes. Like that's the true X-Files syndrome, where it's like, you never get any answers to anything. It's just always every answer is just a bigger question. It's a higher level. And it's like, mm-hmm. that eventually is unsustainable.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where they go with it.
I'm rooting for it, though, because I love good puzzle box. It's the most fun podcast thing you can do.
And the aesthetic of this show. I mean, come on. I love it. It's right in my wheelhouse. I mean, the first song they play is Today by Smashing Pumpkins, my favorite band. It's like, come on. They made this show for me in some ways.
Definitely.
I feel terrified for Travis every second that he's in the wilderness with this pack of wild women. Terrifying.
Yeah, it's so funny that the episode before they hunt him, was it Nat saying like, this must be, or was it, I can't remember. It's like, this must be every guy's fantasy, right?
Ooh, and like, no.
Well, it can turn into a nightmare pretty fucking fast.
Mm-hmm.
The death by snoo-snoo comes at you fast.
You guys got anything else you want to talk about? Or are we good on the introduction podcast here?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think that we got into a lot of the stuff. I mean, I'm working on a thing now, and I'm just looking at what I had here, and I think we hit most of it. Like, where do you think they're actually going with Thaisa? Like, do you think that she had a little bit of interaction with the supernatural at some point in her life? And what do you think, that does she know, like, what's going on whenever she loses time? Like, does she have an understanding of what's happening? Or
I don't think so.
What's going on there?
I think that she's got, it's like a total, like a split situation where she has two like modes of operation.
Like the bad mode is its own separate.
The bad mother. Yeah. Yeah. And it has its own goals and things it's doing. And the daytime Thaisa or good mom Thaisa doesn't have any knowledge of that. But that's why I say it's like, depending on what you mean by her and she, mm-hmm. when you're talking about, does she have knowledge?
And then the other, only other thing was, do you think Adam is just Adam?
It's not
like
hobby.
He was just a regular dude that just happened to come into Shauna's life at a really bad time.
I don't buy that it would be Javi and Shauna doesn't recognize him, right?
Yeah, I mean, after he gets killed, I think it's like he can't be Javi. That he lost the whole emotional.
But I do, I am very skeptical of, like, it seems like they want you to believe that it was just a random coincidence. And this guy had no ulterior, but like, I don't know. There was multiple levels of sketch that whole thing.
I mean, he wasn't on the internet and he definitely lied about his education, but beyond that, there's, you know, he kind of just was a dude. So yeah, that's an interesting question. I think.
I think it's effective to show how paranoid Shauna is. And this whole team. Yeah. So I don't think it's like a bad thing if he's just a dude.
No, I don't either. I just was wondering how you guys thought it would play out.
I guess we'll know like 10 weeks from now when we haven't heard anything more about Adam.
Yeah.
Other than where the hell is Adam's body? We'll see.
That's all I had.
All right. Well, then that'll probably do it for us here. Pete, you said you're working on something else, too. Do you want to? This is going to be coming out Monday. So by then, you should have that thing out. Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, I've been working. I'm going to be covering this weekly on my YouTube channel for sure. So please look that up. I'm at Pete Peppers on YouTube. It's easy to find. And I'm going to be going through this weekly. And the other thing I'm doing is I'm doing the podcast that you mentioned, Growth Decay Transformation. We're going back and watching all of Breaking Bad. And I'm doing that with Courtney, who was from Courtney's Reviews on YouTube. And yeah, so we got a lot of stuff coming up, and hopefully be doing some more podcasting in the future when some more shows come out.
Yeah, Aaron and I are going to be on your Growth Decay Transformation podcast too.
Yeah, by the time this, what day did you say this is going to come out?
It's going to come out Monday. So yeah, I think
so by then you can check and you can get the episode that we did together. That's going to be out, you know, by the time Monday comes around. And then in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to have you guys on and we're going to talk Breaking Bad, and you get to talk to Courtney too. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, having Bald Move on my podcast seems like,
yeah, and I think we're going to have you back on our Yellow Jacket show as well. So pretty soon.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm always down for that. Just let me know.
All right, well, that's it for the preview cast. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week for the season premiere.